The Bible, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2. Like I say, it's good to see our Henderson friends with us tonight. He said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape? You know, there's one answer, there's one question God can't answer. Here it is. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? He's done give the answer for it. And if you don't take benefit of that answer, then that question will send you to hell tonight. How shall we escape? It's no way to escape if we neglect. And he didn't say so good a salvation, but so great a salvation. Aren't you glad he didn't say so great a Baptist? So great a baptism? So great a church membership? No, no, no. He said, how can you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? Thank you for standing tonight. Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by them that heard Him. Aren't you glad you've heard some folks that's come down the trail that told you about this great salvation? Testimonies are very important tonight. Hebrews 1 verse 14, there's an astounding piece of Scripture. The Bible speaks of angels. They said, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? It was no accident that you got out of that bad wreck or that bad situation. The God of glory had somebody watching about you. You had a specific angel. And ain't it amazing when you look under the covers of this Bible how God had the stage set to get you saved? Now read the verse. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs? Even before you'd ever believe, God had you in protective custody. That's amazing to me tonight. It's a thousand wonders that I'm not in hell with my back broke. I know of two times when a gun went off that I ought to be killed tonight as a young kid, through just my benevolence, through my carelessness with a firearm that went off and flashed before my face. No doubt, there's been times in my life that my life flashed in front of my eyes and I never was saved. But the God of glory, the God of glory had an angel standing on my watch. For my account, it may not mean nothing for you tonight, but I want to thank God for His ministering spirits that He's sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. What a great salvation tonight. Oh, it's great because the angels that was involved. Thank God that He thought enough about me and you when we didn't care about ourselves, that He sent ministering spirits to minister to you, to keep you alive, to keep you under the sound of the gospel, that you may hear one day and be saved by the good grace of God. It's no accident you got saved. This thing is so great a salvation. My, the angels makes it astounding. And then the amazing grace makes it astounding. It's amazing to me that God would leave where He was to get on a cross and walk through this world for me and you. You say, preacher, why do you think Jesus said it was such a great salvation? Well, I think, first of all, because of the call of it. Aren't you glad one day that Jesus called you by our glorious gospel? Look in your Bibles, underline it now. Let's have Sunday school tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 18. You done seen your 8 o'clock movie anyway. I hope you T-boat it tonight. 1 Corinthians 1, 18. I think it's a great salvation because of the call of it. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Well, they think a man's crazy to walk out of his job and go to preaching. Matter of fact, they say it's foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Wonder how many times you've seen the power of God move through the Word of God, through the man of God. Won't take you long to know if the man of God's got an unction from God or not. I noticed Brother Mike when God began to call him to preach, and I don't believe that God called Brother Mike to preach when he surrendered. I believe he done called him to preach before he surrendered. That unction was on him in Sunday school. A lot of people say, what's wrong with Brother Mike? Well, he's got the anointing on him. Won't take you long when you get around a man of God. You'll know if you got some kind of flim-flam or if you got a real Holy Ghost-filled preacher. It won't take you long to realize that the foolishness of preaching. God, it's amazing tonight of what He does through preaching. And so we see that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise. I'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. He said, where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God, look at here, by the foolishness of a drama team. No, of preaching. To save them that believe. Boy, it's just like the devil take preaching out of a church, isn't it? You know why? Because it's the power of God. It's just like the devil to take the Word of God out of church. Because, honey, nothing is moved by His power except by the Word of God. His Word brings power to... Some of you got saved under an old backslid worldly preacher. Some of you might got saved under a preacher that wouldn't even say, honey, it wasn't the preacher that saved you. It's the Word of God that saved you, that put life in you and brought you out of death tonight. Every place Jesus spoke the Word and the dead was raised. What do you think got Lazarus out of the grave? He said, Lazarus, come forth, the Word of God. Jairus' daughter, he said, arise, my child, she got up. The woman headed to the graveyard. The Bible said he come up and he touched the bier, the coffin, and he spoke and said, get up. The Word brings life tonight. And boy, if the devil can keep the Word of God out of church, that's exactly what he'll do. The Word brings life. You say, preacher, I feel dead. I know why. Because the Word has to put life in you tonight. Boy, you can tell any preacher that's been around the book, he's so full of life. Oh my, tonight, I bless His good name. The Bible said now, for it is written, He said in verse 21, He said, for after that, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require sign. Then verse 24, for them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 26, I love the next few verses. For ye see your calling, brethren, have it not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And here I was, and base things of the world. and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. We ain't got nothing to glory about. We got somebody to think about. He said, it was nothing in you that I seen fit to save. He said, I saved the low and the base people and the despised people. We ought to thank God that He loves old sinners tonight. The average church don't want this crowd that wakes up at the ditch bank, don't know how they got there. They don't want the crowd walks in, don't have nice things to wear or nice things to drive. But honey, I'm glad Liberty Baptist Church tonight realizes that Jesus still saves old sinners tonight. He got to catch the fish before He cleans it. I'm glad one blessed day He caught me by the net of the gospel. By the grace of God. He said, no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. People say, y'all the craziest people. You want to stand up and glorify the Lord. Boy, I sure am glad to be around that crowd tonight. That'll glorify the Lord. I believe it is a great salvation because of the call of it. Then I believe it's a great salvation because of the cost of it. Titus chapter number 2, it's amazing what happened and took place on the pages of our Bible. In Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 11, Paul's writing to a preacher, and this is what he says. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus. Wouldn't that be a blessing if He'd just come tonight, for I got none reading the Bible. He just come and say, booyah, by the grace of God. We get out of this place. Wouldn't it be a blessing to leave out of here tonight? Lord, wouldn't it be a blessing to get out of this place? Wouldn't it be no more heartache, no more pain, no more suffering? Thank God, I wish you'd come on tonight. I'm ready to go on this road tonight. He said, look for His glorious appearing. Live godly in this present world. Oh my, the cost of it. I like where he goes on and he writes, and this is what he says. He says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Here it is, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity. And purify to Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Let these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you, is what he's telling the preacher. I like that. These things speak and exhort. And look at that, and rebuke with all authority. In other words, he said, you keep the pride in the flesh down out of the church house. He said, you take and you exhort people to glorify the Lamb of God. But when we sang that national anthem of our church, to praise the Lamb, we ought to stand our feet and run, shout, and holler like a bunch of wild Apaches tonight. We ought to thank God what He's done for old sinners like us. You say, I don't like it. Well, leave me alone. I like it. Don't pinch me and wake me up. I like where I am tonight. Boy, we ought to bless His good name, praise the Lamb. Honey, if you don't like praising, you better not go where we headed to tonight. You're going to be some bored creature if you don't like praising Jesus. You know something would bore me out of my gourd? You know one of probably the worst Saturdays I could spend in my life? You know something? One of the most dreadful Saturdays I could think of? To go to a ball game. And some of you don't enjoy church. Why would you want to go to heaven? The reason you like ball games, because you like ball games. That bore me out of my mind. Walking 100,000 people, can't get out, can't park. Give $7 for a cold drink, $12 for a bag of popcorn. Get home at 3 in the morning and say, boy, we had a ball. That ain't high on my list tonight. But I'm going to tell you something. Going to heaven's high on my list tonight. High on my list tonight. And oh, friend, I'm going to tell you, if you don't like having church, you better look inside of you and see if you're headed to the city where we're going tonight. Oh, he said, who gave himself for us to make a peculiar people. The call of it, the cost of it. And then I believe it's so great because the candidates of it. You know, I can tell you two classes of people tonight who's a great candidate for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, the whosoevers. I still believe John 3:16. I still believe over in John's gospel. Look, if you would, in chapter number 5, John 5 tonight. I believe the candidates make it a great salvation. Oh, where would we be if we were not the whosoever tonight? John 5:4, an angel went down in a certain season to the pool at Bethesda and troubled the water, and whosoever then after the trouble of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. He saves whosoever tonight. I've noticed this, he saves the unlikely. I was reading over in this same spiral notebook. I have a text of where I preached that message that morning that Brother Troy Massey come and met the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. Jesus, the friend of sinners. Now I got to thinking, dear God, what kind, boy, you saved the unlikely. You saved the unexpected. God, you saved the unleavened tonight. I'm glad you still save old sinners tonight. Whosoever, whether you're black, white, male, female, poor, or rich, I'm glad that he saves old sinners tonight. The whosoever's, and then I'm glad he saves the whatsoever's. The Bible said in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 4. 1 John 5 verse number 4. The Bible said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The whatsoever's, I'm glad God saves tonight. The whosoever's and the whatsoever's is a divine candidate for this glorious gospel tonight. You say, preacher, you don't understand what I've done. Well, whatsoever you've done, I'm glad the blood of Jesus can wash you clean. I'm glad there's that kind of hope in this gospel tonight. Aren't you glad you don't have to cut your hair a certain way or drive a certain car, put on a certain tie, wear a certain kind of shoes, or put on a certain kind of glasses? And there's a lot of men preach that kind of hogwash tonight. Lord Jesus, I'm glad I'm saved by grace. Plus nothing, minus nothing, all amazing grace tonight. And you know something? In spite of what some men think, it ain't going to be 300 Ken Bowman sitting on a pew. It's diverse personalities tonight. Thank God he saves whosoever's and whatsoever's tonight. If you can go to the ball game, shout, go and shout. I'll stay at home and shout for you. The things you do, I'll try not to meddle and leave you alone. The things I enjoy, you remember, I need to enjoy some things too. We're different tonight. Red cars, black cars, white cars. But we all are under the sound of the same gospel, serving the same Jesus, headed to the same heaven. And I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Saved by the good grace of God. Oh, so great a salvation. I believe, no doubt, it's great because of the call. Cost of the cost. Cost of the candidates. I like what he says in 2 Corinthians 5:14. Have you ever found this verse? If not, underline it. I run up on it last week in my study. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 14. I don't think I've ever used it here. But the Bible says this, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." And look at here in verse 15, underline this, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live but themselves." You know, it's amazing when preachers see the doctrine of grace, they see the doctrine of election. There's no doubt in my Bible, I will not go against the Word of God and say election is not a doctrine. But I can tell you this tonight to keep you balanced. Anytime a man goes to worshiping his doctrine, and that doctrine becomes the whole theme of the gospel, you got to stay balanced tonight. It's a whosoever gospel of whatsoever you was by faith in the Lord Jesus. He died for sinners. He died for all tonight. What He did before the foundation of the world, I don't understand it tonight. I just preach, come one, come all, but you must all come by the way of the cross tonight. Let God be God, and we preach the gospel. When I'm telling you, friend, that only God died for a select few, that's heresy. It's not in my Bible. He said He died for all. Created hell for the devil and his angel. These men see these great doctrines of grace, and they run right off in the ditch with it. You got to stay balanced in the middle of the road. Jesus died for sinners, and never forget that. Friend, there's nothing never took God by surprise. He's a sovereign God tonight. But He loves sinners. Wouldn't it be pitiful if I preached the gospel that only God died for a few? Wouldn't that be so sad for a sinner sitting around and say, well, did He die for me? Would He save me? What kind of hope of a gospel would that be? Oh, I'm praise God. I'm glad He died for all tonight. I'm glad whosoever will let them come by the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the call of the gospel. If I didn't believe it, I'd take my sign down and go home. All these boys that preach this thing of election, and it's all election and no responsibility of man, their church dies. You listen to me tonight. Man has responsibility to God. Me and you got responsibility to God. We've got to be a light and a witness. Every man will stand before God with that excuse on judgment day and give an account of what they've done, whether it's been good or it's been bad. He created hell for the devil and his angels. He didn't create hell for man. Honey, I can shout with the best of them on any of these doctrines, but you got to stand in the middle of the road and stay balanced. Don't let your doctrine become your God and your worship. We're to worship God sitting on the throne. Isaiah said, I saw Him high and lifted up. Said angels cried, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Praise His name, and He's still holy and high tonight. Oh, bless His good name. Well, I'm in a spot where I've been trying to get for a week. Just let me enjoy it. I bless His good name. I don't understand it all, but I just know that He died for old sinners like me. I bless His good name. Lord, I bless His good name. So great a salvation. The call of it, the cost of it, the candidates of it. He said in that He died for all. 2 Corinthians 5:15. He died for all. They which live should not henceforth live to themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Them He died for, He wants to save them tonight. Listen, church, what are we doing to get the gospel out? He said, and that He died for all, that they which should not henceforth live to themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth now we know man after the flesh. Yeah, though we've known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know Him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. And you better be sure that doctrine's there tonight. Those He saves, He changes. Now you listen to this old country preacher tonight, friend. He saved you just how He found you. But He loves you too much to leave you that way. He's going to conform you to the image of His dear Son. People talk about predestination. Well, look what He says, predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. He wants you to be like the Lord. He wants me and you to reflect His Son in all areas of our life. Oh, tonight, so great a salvation. Am I doing okay thus far tonight? Amen. The call, the cost, the candidate, then the capabilities. What can it do? I want to say tonight it can reach in a whale. The Bible said in the book of Jonah, chapter number 2, there's an old boy that was sitting around and God gave him a job to do. And he went down and bought him a ticket. And he paid the fare thereof. And he went in a different direction. God said, go to Nineveh. So he went to Tarshish, just like us. He had to have been Baptist, hard-headed rascal. Storm got up and the mariner said, are you the count of this storm got up? He said, sure am. They throwed him overboard. The Bible said, now the Lord had prepared a great fish. Ain't that something? Jonah didn't take him by surprise. Wonder what He's got prepared to get you to Him. I'd say He's been a-feeding something to get your attention. And so the Bible said that now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Oh, Jonah. Jonah. Jonah would have never hit the bottom of his barrel if He hadn't swallowed him up. You ought to thank God. Whatever God brought to you swallowed you up. You ought to thank the Lord for it. You ought to thank God Him. He just didn't bite you a little bit, but He swallowed you whole. He prepared a great fish, and I still believe that in the Bible. He swallowed up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And I don't care what any modernist liberal has to say, my Bible said, he was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. And that's the end of the story. Jonah prayed to the Lord his God out of fish's belly. Did he die? I don't know, but I can tell you this, his prayer got through. He said, I cried by reason of mine affliction the Lord, and He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I. Thou heardest my voice. Boy, listen what he said. He said, verse 9, I'll sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I'll pay that I vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Buddy, I guarantee you when he hit the ground running different. I bet every time he walked by the ocean, he sort of picked it up a little bit. Capabilities. God can reach in a whale tonight. You may be in a whale of trouble, God can reach you tonight. You may be in a whale of sorrow, aren't you glad God can reach in your sorrow? Oh my, He can reach in the whale tonight. Acts 16, you found out He could reach in the jail. Well, the old Philippian jailer. The Bible said Paul and Silas got locked up for preaching the gospel. Put them in the innermost part of the prison. Made their feet fast in the stocks. And about the midnight hour, Paul and Silas prayed and they began to sing. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that say, preacher, you can't sing a lick. Leave me alone. Let me sing. Like me. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. All of a sudden, an earthquake happened. Things went to shaking. The jailer come in and a light shined. Paul said, do thyself no harm. We all here. Then he said them famous words. What must I do to be saved, boys? He said, that song you sang and that prayer you prayed, said, and this jail is shaking done got my attention. They said, oh, ain't you glad they said, men know how to tell people how to be saved. Listen simply what they said in Acts 16. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And it didn't stop there. And he said, and thy house. Oh, the capabilities of this great salvation can reach in a whale, can reach in a jail. And I'm going to tell you, honey, he can reach in hell tonight. You say, how does he do that, preacher? I'm living proof I was headed to hell. But he reached and got me out of hell. Set my feet on a solid rock. So great a salvation. Oh, so great a salvation. Not only the call, the cost, the candidates and capabilities tonight, but I want to close with the conclusion of this great salvation. In Ephesians 1, I want to say our salvation is fixed. Oh, I'm glad my salvation's fixed tonight. You know something? What really bothers me, Ephesians 1, verse 12, turn there. I want to give you some Bible study there a minute. What really bothers me, people that's heard me preach for years still die and go to hell in their sin. Why won't you get saved? Why won't you get saved? The gospel's there for you. The love of Christ is there for you. The Holy Ghost is here for you. Why won't you get saved? It's fixed. I'm glad my salvation's fixed, Brother Tim. Ephesians 1, verse number 12. That we should be the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. You had to trust in Him. He just didn't pull you out. You had to trust in Him, friend. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. Nobody's going to get saved without truth. You got to stay with truth. I know you get tired of me hitting everything that ain't right, but I'm going to keep hitting it to make you realize it ain't truth. Why do you think so many hundreds is flocking to a drama bazaar? Can you show me any place in that Bible where that can get anybody saved? It's the word of truth. He chose the foolishness of what? God raptures me out and takes me tonight. I hope some liberal skunk comes in here. Y'all get you a good pine top and a bucket of tar and run that scoundrel plumb out of the city limits of Bab. I hope to the Lord of heaven I ain't preached my guts out here nearly 14 years and you get crazy. Speaks. He said, I like this, in whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, look here, you are sealed. That Holy Spirit of promise. And I'm going to tell you this seal, it's really not what many folks have explained it to be. This seal's simply a stamp. It's a insignia from the king. It means he's come by and he's put his stamp on you, his impression on you. Put his seal on you. You see what he's done with this earnest of the Spirit. He said sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance to the redemption, the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory. You know something about Brother Dennis? Brother Dennis is not here tonight. But if you tell Brother Dennis you want a car and you want him to hold it for you 2 weeks, you know what you better do? You better put some money down on it. Don't it won't be there and you get back. You know what Jesus done for you when He saved you? He gave you the earnest of the Spirit. He put the Holy Ghost in you, His seal of approval on you. And He said, this is a down payment. This is an earnest effort. And He said, because I'm coming back. Boy, Brother Randall, he said, when we come back, we're going to take some laps. Amen. He said, you're going to praise me forever. Boy, ain't you glad you've got the seal of the Spirit in you and on you tonight? You can't get unsaved because the seal of the Spirit. The Bible says this, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption, look, of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. I believe Paul was a running, shouting, crying preacher. He had too many wonderful words to take you out of deadness to the praise of His glory. Conclusion. It's fixed. John 10:27. It's fireproof. Oh, I'm glad of that tonight. I can't get unsaved. John 10:27. Blessed be His name tonight. Look what He says. Underline this. You hear somebody say, well, you can be saved today and lost tomorrow if you cuss a little. Well, if that was so, every one of us would be lost tonight. Exactly right. You hit your thumb with a hammer. I know what you say. You lose your temper. I know what you say. You know why? Because this flesh ain't saved. You say, boy, I can't say nothing ugly. All right, you wait till your boy don't come home when he told you he would. You wait till that little boy pulls up and gets your girl out of the driveway and don't have her home at 10 o'clock. We'll see how holy you are. John 10:27. Look what He said. Ah, like this, 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I'll give unto them. Thank God. Woo-hoo. Honey, come get my truck tomorrow, I'm going to run home. I give unto them eternal life. And look what He says, y'all underline this tonight, they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, O Lord, which gave them me. It was a gift of the Father on Calvary's cross. He gave you Son tonight. He in turn turned around and gave you to the Son. He said, my Father, which gave them me. He reached over there and he said, Brother Tim, Brother David, I'm going to give you to Jesus. Yeah. Then this is what he said. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That'll tear the Jehovah Witnesses up. The conclusion, it's fixed, it's fireproof, and yes, sir, it is forever. He said eternal salvation. Aren't you glad we serve a Jesus that gave us so great a salvation tonight? Boy, I bless His good name. If y'all see me walking home, don't stop and get me. I ain't come to yet. I'll never perish. What a gospel. What a God. What a Holy Ghost would love us like that.